This is the State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. Big news from Raleigh today. Governor Perdue announced today that she is not seeking re-election for another term. She says, quote, "We live in a highly partisan times where people seem more worried about scoring political points than working together to address real challenges that the state faces. Clear to me that my race for re-election will only further politicize the fight to adequately fund our schools. A re-election campaign is already a divisive environment, and it will make more difficult to find any bipartisan solutions," unquote. That's Governor Perdue today saying that she's not going to run for re-election. You couple that with reports that Representative Brad Miller is giving up his seat in Congress in the 2012 election. Just got a lot more interesting. Miller is stepping away because redistricting would put him in a primary battle with fellow Democrat David Price. And that is something he says he doesn't want to do. Here to fill us in on these developments is Mark Binker, state government and politics reporter for the Greensboro News and Record. Welcome, Mark.
Good morning, or afternoon, I should say.
It's just barely afternoon. So the news but this morning about Governor Perdue, what can you tell us?
The statement that you read can be read a couple different ways. One, that she maybe believes that she can do better in pushing her education agenda, which includes getting more funding for education if she's not involved in the campaign. It can also be read to say that she's sort of looking at the political realities of the situation. Public Policy Polling, which is a Democratic-leaning polling firm, says that she hasn't had a positive approval rating number since 3 months into her term, which would be March of 2009. She faces what would certainly be a brutal general election campaign, and maybe figured at 65 years old that there were better ways to spend her time.
So the poll numbers are bad. It didn't look very good, and at least like a very difficult campaign.
It looked like a campaign where she would have to be sort of relentlessly negative, which is really not her campaign style.
Now, in terms of the Democratic field and a possible gubernatorial candidate for 2012, is there anybody doing any better in the state? Who's the likely replacement?
There are a couple of people who have lined up. Lieutenant Governor Walter Dalton has raised a lot of money for somebody who is in a relatively low-profile position. I mean, Lieutenant Governor sounds important, but he doesn't have much of a profile. That profile just got a heck of a lot larger since he not only has a big dollar fundraiser plan, he ended the year with over $500,000 in the bank. He's somebody who Democrats have seen as a long-time possibility. You also have Representative Bill Fazen, who's been making noises for, since September that he was looking at a run. He's loaned his campaign some money. He's talked about running, and he called me this morning to say that, you know, this is Governor Perdue's day, but he'll have an announcement in due course. And then you have, I think, a few other folks in kind of the speculative field. If for some reason Dalton or Fazen don't go for it, you might see somebody like an Erskine Bowles or Mayor Fox from Charlotte give a serious look at the run.
And, of course, the Republican challenger has already begun his campaign.
Pat McCrory is expected to officially announce, and in fact, he sent out a statement today saying that he would announce that he's announcing next week, which I think is pretty much just an announcement. But
because there have already been two of those announcements. Go ahead.
McCrory is really the only big name, credibly statewide known Republican who's made any sort of noise that he's running. It actually presents kind of an unusual situation where the party of the incumbent is now really completely unsettled as to what they're going to do for a gubernatorial nominee, and it's the chance, and you know, the party that's not in office that seems more dialed in as to what they're going to do this year.
What's the impact on the Democratic Party if there is a fractious fight in a sort of a primary battle or a fight to run for governor?
There are two kind of classic ways that primaries are viewed. One, if you have a hard primary, it's viewed as a crucible which forges a better candidate for the general election. You know, it's clearly somebody who can stand up and take the fight. The other way to view it is it's a primary fight strain resources both in money and creates bad blood and hard feelings and gives the opposition, the eventual general election opposition, more ammunition. So I don't know that we would know what a hard-fought gubernatorial primary would look like or do to the general election. I'm pretty confident that whoever's running would prefer to have an easier path than a harder path.
Yep. And then Representative Brad Miller also announced he's not seeking another term. Why not?
When I spoke to Congressman Miller yesterday, he basically said, look, the Republican redistricting plan, Republicans control the General Assembly. They redrew the congressional districts this year. His current district, the 13th, now becomes a very Republican-leaning district, one that would be, if not impossible, very hard for a Democrat to win. Particularly a liberal Democrat like Congressman Miller. His other choice, he lives about a block, maybe two blocks away from the new 4th Congressional District, which is a Democratic-leaning district, but is currently occupied by his colleague and fellow Democrat, David Price. And he said, for me to have a realistic chance of winning, I would have to run in that 4th Congressional District. David has basically made clear that, or Congressman Price has made clear that he is running for re-election. I don't want to primary against him, so I'm going to bow out and do something else.
Any sense of who the Democratic challenger then might be in that district?
Well, in the 4th Congressional District, you'll certainly have David Price running for re-election. In the 13th Congressional District, I do not know. And I don't know that there's anybody out there who's really jumped up and down. It's a hard campaign, and it's one that is hard to see a Democrat with career ambitions or long-term political ambitions being really enthusiastic about, unless this is going to be their sort of take one for the team election, and they go out and expect to win one the next time around.
So, in effect, Brad Miller redistricted out of his seat, and there are some who say, well, that's just payback.
Yeah, Congressman Miller, before he was Congressman Miller, was State Senator Miller and chaired the redistricting committee here at the General Assembly, was responsible for drawing the original 13th district, which many people saw as a Democratic-leaning district and one that was drawn for him to run in. He disputes that notion. He said, well, you know, I would have drawn a lot differently if I wanted to really give myself an easy pass. Either way, he drew the district, ran in, and won it. He also, at that time, was responsible for state legislative maps that forced some Republican state lawmakers to step away from politics for a little while, and there will be some Republicans who just see this as sort of comeuppance for him. He pushes back very hard on that notion, saying, hey, my maps were a heck of a lot more fair than the maps that the Republicans drew and that we're going to be using this year.
All right, I got about 30 seconds left. Any sense of the future for Brad Miller and Bev Perdue?
For Governor Perdue, I don't know. This is such a surprise for her. She very well could just go and be sort of a senior statesman in the party. For Congressman Miller, he sounded very uncertain as to what his future would hold. Said yesterday that he didn't want to start speculating about his next job before his current job was over. Although there are already people out there saying, well, hey, if the governor's stepping down, perhaps Congressman Miller would like to run for governor. He's certainly not had time to engage in any conversation about that. So it's just one of those things that I think we'll have to wait and see in both cases.
All right. Thank you, Mark.
Not a problem.
Mark Binker is state government and politics reporter for the Greensboro News and Record. And you can read the News and Record at news-record.com.